And thanks again
Thank you,
to everyone that's
Steve.
read that's helped us open the meeting. And I take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Warm welcome to any visitors and a huge welcome to anyone that might be new to NA or coming back to NA tonight. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. And I'm delighted to say that we do have a speaker this evening who's going to share their experience with and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with. The journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to Helen, who's going to introduce them. So over to you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm Helen. I'm an addict. Hi,
Hello,
everybody.
Helen.
Hi. So I met this person when I first came to NA, really. To the fir my first regular evening meeting. That meeting really saved me on a regular basis. And so that person was there pretty much on a daily basis. So I heard him share many, many times. But I never heard his whole story, or, I never heard him share for 45 minutes. So I really wanted to invite him to come and share his experience, strength, and hope. He's got a strong message of recovery. And with no further ado, PJ, come and share with us. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Helene, for the kind words. Thank you for the invite to come and speak. And thank you to all the other group servants. I believe that Jay is hosting and Steve's co-hosting. Thank you for your service. I appreciate and respect all the people that do service in this fellowship. And remember, we do service when we attend regular meetings and we actively participate. So thank you, everyone that's turned up to participate. I have an attitude of gratitude for life, not just this program, but especially this program, because this program has given me a life that I now truly believe is worth living. I'm so grateful that I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, but let me start at the beginning. 45 minutes might be a bit steep for me, but I will do my best, like this fellowship and the people that's lead by example have taught me. And I believe that, if I slow down, because I know I can share an hour share in 20 minutes because I'm so passionate and enthusiastic about recovery, but I don't ram it down people's throats. Anybody that's new to recovery, or if you've been about a while and you're struggling, I'm sending you out love and affection because I came to understand and appreciate the importance of love and the power and the strength that it gives me as an individual. And I, as an individual, is no different to any other human being on this planet. I was born in 1979. I grew up in a single parent household. I've got brothers and sisters. The dynamics in the household was not in the extreme elements of dysfunction, but the household was something that lacked, emotional connection with my mother. My mother is someone that I class as emotionally disabled, and as a result of that, I progressed to the point where I started to take drugs and steal and stuff at a very young age. And I had an older brother that used to bully me, and through the power of this program, on the steps, and I've not completed the steps by any means. Even when I do complete the steps, I understand the importance of the continuing and progressive program. It's living and breathing them and giving back what I was freely given. I certainly aren't racing through the steps. I'm not in a race to complete them. It's a slow and steady pace because I've learned the true importance of life and enjoying the journey, not the destination. My first time in school, after nursery, I stole some stuff from school, some chalk. And when I arrived back home, my mum found the stuff in my pocket and contacted the police. So it wasn't like I grew up in a household where I was taught that wrong was right. I had values instilled into me that, I choose to ignore and chose to do things more on the influence of my peers and my community and my estate. I was taught to steal by my peers at a relatively young age. I grew up in a household where all my basic needs were met. but my emotional needs were not met. They was not met in abundance. We wasn't rich. You know, I didn't go hungry. I didn't lack routine and bed on a night time and going to school around about the age of 12. You know, my life unraveled and I completely hit the fuck it button. I decided that, you know, I was not going to conform in any way. I stopped going to school. I started getting into trouble in the extreme elements of crime. The police became involved in my life. I've been through the care home system, not because I was neglected at home, but because they didn't know what to do with me because I was getting into so much trouble with the police. You know, my life has consisted of crime, drugs, prison, detoxing in prison, getting out and repeating the cycle time and time again. I've been in children's homes, I've been in semi-secure children's homes, and I've been in full secure children's homes, and I've also been in prison. My first ever time in prison was at the age of 15. And it has been, you know, a process of progressive nature in regards to my addiction, where my life, you know, just got worser towards the back end. But in the early stages, I enjoyed crime. I enjoyed not caring about the consequence of my actions, mainly because I was taught the true sense of doing things outside your own environment. I was taught not to shit on my own doorstep. So the only effects of my crime was on the police going looking for me at my family's or friends' houses or me getting arrested, you know, but in the long haul, I paid for it. Because as a result of all the crimes that I committed, I ended up in a situation where my addiction was interfered with, but that'll come later. So yeah, I grew up in a community where there was unity. You know, I was taught to be resilient and self-sufficient and take care of my needs, you know, mainly through crime, you know, and from the age of 12, I've practically brought myself up. But not in a sense of being alone. You know, I had the umbrella. I was within my community of family, friends, my friends' mums. And I'm so grateful through this program, the ability to reflect and reframe my past childhood experiences to understand through the essence of what other people share and their experiences that I didn't have it particularly tough. You know, it was just my emotional immaturity that contributed towards me leading the life that I lived. And I truly have no regrets as a result of this program. I don't live a life that's based on guilt and shame. You know, I'm not proud of some of the things I've done, but God or my sponsor cannot erase my past. I understand the importance of acceptance and acknowledging not just the things that I like about myself, but the things that I don't like about myself. And the power of this program is that, you know, change is possible for every single one of us, but we have to be willing to and prepared to put in the effort to fulfill that change. You know, I came into NA. I was first introduced to Narcotics Anonymous around about 2019. You know, I was released from, no, that was this time. I must have probably been released from prison at some point. I had no desire to stop taking drugs. I was in the situation where my addiction was being interfered with. Death was an attractive proposition. Self-harming is a part of my story. Despite all of this, I had no capacity or desire to stop taking drugs. I just wanted a breathing space, a place to gather my thoughts, knowing fine well that I was going to inevitably pick back up. And inevitably, that's what happened. But whilst I was about NA in the early stages, I had the ability to sit back in my chair, as well as sharing, because I'm a talker. But listen to other people and get a sense and the understanding of what this program's about. I'm fortunate that at the time I was introduced to NA, I knew people within NA. The attraction, not the promotion, is what brought me into recovery. I seen what one of my friends had, and I thought, I'll go see what that's about. And I'm grateful that I did. So, needless to say, you know, I didn't come from a traumatic childhood in the sense of, you know, like neglect and abuse. You know, but I experienced trauma through interference in my addiction. And that is unconventional trauma because the trauma that you hear spoke about in these rooms is widely accepted and respected. But to speak of the trauma of someone interfering in your addiction is almost laughable. You know, it doesn't invoke empathy and sympathy from your own family, let alone strangers. So, needless to say, I felt alone, I felt isolated, I was in a state of absolute spiritual decay. But, all of this contributed and has played a part to me being able to rebuild myself in an emotional and psychological sense through the power of this program. And, my life has transformed, in ways that, I couldn't possibly convey. And I'm quite articulate through the times I've been in prison. I was always in front of the governor on adjudications, and I learned the power of, the pen and writing things down. Because although I'm a good talker, I understand that, sometimes people can interfere in that process, and then that invokes feelings of anger and frustration and acting out. So I learned through the power of, like pen, writing my defenses down to go before the governor and be able to just recite and read back what I'd wrote down and not worry about, being knocked out of my stride and out of my comfort zone. And that, in a sense, is what the steps is about. I've got myself a sponsor. This time in my journey, I came into NA. I was already abstinent, so I found my recovery this time relatively easy because I was able to hit the ground running. I found myself a sponsor at 60 Days Clean. My sponsor is from the United States of America. He's from New Jersey, but he lives in Florida. I've had the privilege of going to Florida and spending time with him in his home area, going to his home group and stuff. He started me through the steps. He said I had to wait till 90 days, but I believe, if I can recollect correctly, I think he let me start the steps at about 88 days. Because he liked where I was at, and he could see that I was passionate and committed to my recovery. Just like I was passionate and committed to my addiction, and addiction is progressive in nature in a negative sense. I have found that recovery is progressive in nature in a positive sense. But to begin with, it's not particularly nice to come from a lifestyle of taking drugs to manage how you feel and to live your life, into a program of complete abstinence is not a nice transition, but it's a healthy transition. The pain and despair and the discomfort that I went through in early recovery has served me quite well. I have learned through the power of expression, the freedom comes from talking about my issues, my thoughts and my feelings, not pretending that I'm okay, and it makes me laugh. Famous last words of all addicts is, "I'm okay." Until you scratch beneath the surface and probe a little bit deeper, then actually, most addicts will reveal something's going on. So, yeah, I'm grateful for the true characters in NA. I know it's not about personalities, it's about principles, and I do operate through principles of fairness, respect, autonomy. I don't seek to impose myself on any people. I've seen what was going on around me, the people that seemed to be doing the best. Was the people that was following the suggestions. They had a sponsor, they were doing step work, they were doing service, they shared in meetings, and they was always willing and able to help the still suffering addict. I don't particularly subscribe to the sense of importance on any particular category of people. I love newcomers, don't get me wrong, but I respect all people. And I don't necessarily put people on pedestals because it doesn't matter how clean I am or anyone else's for that matter. If my behaviors are not to the benefit of the group, that is the thing that affects the group. And so for me, I'm someone that's relatively new to recovery, but what I'm not relatively new to is life. I'm 46 years of age. I've got a hell of a lot of life experience. And that is the most important feature that every single member of this fellowship offers to this program. Abstinence is a beautiful thing for me as an individual. It has no value to any of you if I don't conduct myself in accordance with the spiritual principles of the program. So, I'm grateful for my understanding of the steps. I've got a reasonable understanding of the traditions. And the fact that, it's not my job to act like the police and tell a room full of strangers how they should act in accordance with values that are mine, not theirs. I believe in the power of, example, not ramming stuff down people's throats. And my sponsor is 36 years clean. I've got a sponsorship family. I have a home group physical and virtual, because I believe in doing both aspects of recovery. And even that dynamic, if someone was to tell me what I could get through the power of the screen and the virtual world before I would get it, I would have put them in a mental institution without a second thought. My network and my connections are worldwide, because at this point in my journey, I got fully on board. I started to invest in my recovery, not in the fear that it speaks about in the literature. I do not live a life that's based on fear. I didn't fear death at the point of my introduction to NA, so I realized I have no use for fear. Unless my life is on the line or there's a risk to my safety, I have an understanding that fear can be processed and acknowledged and ignored. I don't fear rejection, I don't fear abandonment, I don't fear being disliked in recovery. I'm not a people pleaser, but I'm not someone that goes out of my way to upset people. I'm real and I'm authentic, and I understand that the power of the program is the respect for the atmosphere, not the individual. And the atmosphere is complex, just like addiction, and we all recover differently. People have to be allowed to unload and express things, whether other people like them or don't like them. And anyone that's new to recovery, the only suggestion and advice that I would give them is that you're going to hear and see things that you don't like in recovery. Get used to it. It's part of the journey. We cannot become well-rounded unless we're prepared to expose ourselves to conditions that's not favorable to recovery. I didn't come into recovery to learn how to pick up, so I can't blame other people if they share something that triggers me and I want to pick up. I have to learn to accept personal responsibility for my own personal journey, and my recovery lies in my hands, not in someone else's. And I say this to people all the time: the most important share that anyone can ever hope to hear, especially if you're new to recovery, is your own stuff coming out of your own mouth, because that is where the freedom lies. It's great when you can identify with what someone else shares, for the sense of value and your place in recovery. But for me, it's a system of weakness. I'm here on my own merit. I don't need anyone else to share my story for me to latch onto that and place importance in my seat. I'm here through the spiritual and emotional degradation that taking drugs has caused me. And I'm grateful for the fact that I am truly able to live and enjoy my life through the power of this program. I have such passion and enthusiasm for my recovery, but not in a manner that is not measured. I do not seek to ram positivity down people's throats. I don't seek to ram the literature down people's throats. I love the different perspectives that all members have, because I have come to realize with the right mindset and perspective, you cannot lose in NA, regardless to who you're talking to or who's in your environment, because some members attract me with their recovery and inspire me. Other people inspire me in how not to be. But the greatest transformations that I've seen occur in NA in the relatively short period I've been about is the people that behave in a manner that on appearances is deplorable and not particularly nice, till I've learned to understand the power of empathy and understanding and recognize, unless I've walked in someone else's shoes, I cannot say with certainty that I wouldn't do what they've done. I'm not here to condemn people for the stuff that they've done. I'm not here to project my pain and trauma into the group. I'm not here to project my morals and values and guilt and shame onto people. I recognize my privileged place amongst a group of peers where we are all equal. No one is more important than the group. The group has more relevance than any individual. And I've seen instances where people can form alliances and almost, interfere with that process, but I don't allow things to affect me. My recovery goes where I go. I'm not afraid to go to different meetings. My recovery hasn't become stagnant yet, because I'm grateful for the manner in which I was taught to go to meetings outside of my immediate area and tap into the fellowship in geographically different areas. I've been to meetings in other countries. I've been to the World Convention in America in 2024. I've just come back from America after a second visit, where I was at my sponsor's house in Florida. I went to the New York Convention, Impossible Dreams 2. And then after that, I was fortunate through my connections in regards to the meeting that Helene referenced, where we met one of the members of that lives in America upstate. I traveled up to his house and he took me up to Canada to see the Niagara Falls from the American side and the Canadian side. All of this is available to every single one of us, but it will not present itself to you without you presenting yourself to NA. I have learned I have to give myself to recovery to receive recovery. I also have to act in accordance with respect and consideration towards other people, but I also have to consider my own personal journey and my recovery, and I understand it's about balance. And sometimes the balance can be off key because addicts can be sensitive. I myself, at one time or other, was sensitive. I don't believe I'm sensitive now. I've done the internal work that it speaks about in the literature. I truly have, and I've had the shift in my perspective, and my whole outlook has changed as a result. And I haven't completed the steps in the authentic sense, but I've done the steps in the psychological sense through listening to other people's. The 90 meetings in 90 days that it suggested, I found relatively easy, having been released from prison with nothing but memories to show for 43 years on this earth. I was doing like 7 meetings a day at least, virtual and physical, and I truly built up my network and connections. You better believe that I shared on every meeting I go to. I still do so now. I absolutely have an open heart to this fellowship. And all members, even members that might act in a way that they don't like me, I understand through the steps that people that don't like me don't like the embodiment of me that exists in their head. And in reality, the hate that they thinks for me is going through their mind and body, not mine. I act in accordance with the power of love, which I loved that the World Service Convention was title themed, The Power of Love, because I absolutely understand the importance of love. My emotions are not strong and stable because I act in a hateful and spiteful manner. I act in accordance with love, kindness, and consideration. Even, especially so, amongst the members that act in a way that it's hard to love because I've come to understand the people that are easy to love in this fellowship, don't necessarily need that love. I'm not saying I stop loving them or respecting them. But the people in this fellowship that need the love are the ones that are the hardest to love. The people that act in deplorable and defective ways, I have the ability to separate someone's behaviors from them as a human being. Because anytime I look into someone's eyes, I am looking into a carbon copy of myself, and I recognize how I treat them demonstrates how I treat myself. I'm so grateful for my predecessors. I'm grateful for the people that participate in this fellowship, not just on a service level, but on a meeting level, because not all people attend meetings and participate. I understand that not all members have the confidence or courage to exercise and use their voice. But on my own experience, individually and perspectively, the people that recover are the people that participate in meetings that open their mouth and talk about what's going on for them. Where am I at in my recovery? I'm relatively new. I've got a lot of work still to do externally. I do believe that I've done the internal work and it's just a job of maintaining it. And I have no illusion that I stop recovering. I don't reach a point where, I feel like the job's done. There's always new people coming into recovery, always new people I need to learn how to adjust my emotional and spiritual approach to them. Addiction is complex, but so is recovery. But it is such a beautiful gift that we have the ability to help other people, which this program has taught me, helps me on my own journey of recovery. We keep what we have by giving it away. And I prefer to give out positive energy, not negative energy. But rest assured, if I had any negative energy stored up in me, if I was frustrated, if I was angry and I had something going on, I would share it in a meeting. And I've learned over time how to share in a more appropriate manner. But when you're new to recovery, you have the privilege and luxury of sharing how you share. I do not share to please people. I would rather sound dirty and live clean than do the opposite. Sound like I've got great recovery Meanwhile, my defects of character are all over me. The way that I look at defects of character are a form of abuse. I do not have the right to act out and treat other people in a manner that displays how I'm feeling. I have the right to express my thoughts and feelings in recovery in a non-direct manner. And I'm grateful for my understanding and appreciation for the group through getting involved in service and participation. I'm the treasurer of my home group, which is in Halifax in the north of England, on a Thursday night. If anyone is ever about my area, feel free to reach out to me through the network, other people. My number will always be available. I'll be happy to meet up with you and take you to my meeting, go for food, etc., because I also understand the importance of fellowship. However, I also understand that this program is more than just the fellowship. You cannot work the program without fellowship. However, you can work fellowship without the program. The solution to my problems, I've come to understand, is going back and revisit them and reframing them through the power of the pen and the steps. I'm grateful that I have the capacity and ability to recognize that the steps are not a race, they're a living exercise. Of course, I need to do them to live them. I'm currently on step seven, but alongside doing the steps, I'm doing other things. I've just completed a access course. I'm doing a foundation degree. I'm rebuilding myself completely to the point of where my life truly will be worth living. My life is not at the point yet where I want it to be, but it's certainly not where it used to be, where I was wishing I was dead and self-harming as a result of interference in my addiction. And I have nothing but love and appreciation for this fellowship and all the founders and all the people, that have played a part in my recovery. I live in my home area. I'm grateful for the fact that the only time I've ever had to leave my home area was when I was in prison. And even throughout, prior to coming in recovery, I've always had a sense of acceptance because I'm not someone that committed loads of crime and blamed the police, probation, or the courts for the fact I was in prison. And when I was in prison, I would not conform. I don't smoke, so I would rather do my jail behind my door. And the courses that I've done in jail, I knew that when I was released from prison, I had no intention to stop taking drugs and committing crime. So the courses that I did in jail in the early stages in regards to addiction, I didn't particularly care about the relapse prevention. However, and my ears tuned into the harm reduction aspect, and I'm grateful for the fact that I never put myself at any real risk. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that taking drugs is a positive or good thing, but I was quite successful at taking drugs, which hence the fact that my addiction had to be interfered with. And I don't say this with a positive spin because I paid for it in the long run. I entered NA in a state of emotional and spiritual degradation beyond belief. I cannot think of a worse place to be as a human being than wishing you were dead and not having the courage to do that. And through this program, I've learned that time, is the most important currency that I have. And I've learned to truly appreciate and value my time. I have no problem sitting on my own in my own feelings. I can process my thoughts. I have the ability to regulate my emotions. Despite the fact that I'm little over 3 years abstinence, I'm 46 years of age. We all have different abilities. And I have done a hell of a lot of internal work on myself. I understand the importance of not acting out and mistreating other people because it's only mistreating myself to mistreat other people. I have the ability to show restraint and act in accordance with the spiritual principles. I'm not saying I'm a saint. I'm not saying I'm finished by any means whatsoever. On any given day, I can be angry. I can be frustrated. But through this program, I have the ability to act differently to how I'm thinking and feeling. My sponsor has given me his time freely. I'm so grateful for that. I've got a sponsorship family. But outside of that, I've got worldwide connections because I don't just attend meetings and sit silent in my chair listening to other people's story, sitting there identifying and not revealing where I'm at in my life or carrying a message of recovery. I'm grateful for the fact that, I have been led by the right people and had the capacity and intelligence to recognize not just listening to what people share, but understanding the importance of patterns of behavior and consistency, because it is very easy to sound like you've got recovery. I have seen quite a lot of people that sound fantastic in meetings until you sit back and observe them and watch how they treat people. It is very easy to work recovery in an environment and conditions that's favorable. Same as spirituality. The power of this program and the measure of my recovery is my ability to carry, these principles in all areas of my life, not just in certain ones, to the best of my abilities, and I'm not saying I don't fall short on some days, but very rarely do I act out. I am measured in my approach. I'm calm and I'm controlled. I weigh up the costs versus the benefits of my decisions. And I'm grateful that if ever I have an issue that I'm struggling with, I have a worldwide fellowship. My phone is full of members worldwide in all different time zones that I can reach out to and ask for guidance and support. But I also have an understanding that, I brought myself up since the age of 12. I'm quite resilient. If I'm able to do things for myself, rest assured I will do it for myself. And if there's anything going on for me, the fellowship will be the first to hear about it, because I will not sit silent in my chair pretending I'm okay if I'm not okay. And a lot of people share that, you don't talk about yourself. That's because I'm humble and I practice humility. It's not about me, it's about helping other people, and I carry a message. And I'm not one of these people that speaks about the mess versus the message, because I understand the importance of the mess when you're in early recovery. Because unless people can clear their mess, they'll never get to the point where they can effectively carry a message or carry this program with positive energy. I do not seek to live the rest of my life with suppressed issues, bygone trauma, etc. I have the ability to open my mouth and express my past experiences in a manner that is not aimed at other people. And that doesn't exclude the fact that people can sometimes be sensitive to issues that spoke about in these rooms. But I'm not responsible for how other people feel. I'm responsible for respecting the environment in which we all recover. And that environment is extremely complex. And I tread very carefully when I expect other people to do their recovery in a certain way. Unless someone shares at me or about me or attacks someone in a meeting, I am very hesitant to get involved in situations that don't concern me. And I see quite a lot of people that don't seem to understand the importance of everyone's right to recover when they seek to intervene and impose conditions and barriers on meetings in regards to certain individuals not liking something what someone shares. And I'm the first one to support everyone's right to share, and I am grateful for my ability to present things in an authentic, firm but fair manner, and explain to people the importance of the environment, and the environment doesn't belong to any individual. Thank you, everyone, for allowing me to share. I am so grateful for the fact that Narcotics Anonymous is available to me at any moment, at every time of the day, morning, noon, and night. I'm grateful for the fact that I have been able to tap into the worldwide fellowship. I've been all over the world. I've met a few of the members on here in person, as well as attended regular meetings. And I have no doubt in my mind I am a lifelong member of this fellowship, because I am so grateful, and I would class it as more selfish than the disease of addiction. And I don't particularly like the narrative of disease. It's a concept that I don't particularly buy into. However, I do not seek to challenge other people that buy into that concept. I respect everyone's right to hold their own perspective, operate from their own morals and values. I absolutely have nothing but gratitude. I respect the literature. I have all the dynamics of the disease. I just don't particularly feel it helps me and my journey and my recovery to believe that I've got a disease with fear attached to it, because I've come to understand that fear doesn't serve me unless my life's on the line. I am so grateful for my sponsor, for my sponsorship family, for my network of connections, and I'm grateful for all the pain and despair and degradation that brought me into recovery, because it is through that I've been able to go through the transformation that I've gone through. And if I can do it in a relatively short period of time, Anyone else can. It's about learning to work smart and effectively, and I'm grateful for my ability to understand the importance of my voice in recovery. And I say this to every one of you. No one's voice has more value than anyone else's in recovery. We are all equal. I have absolutely nothing but respect for all of yous on this meeting, whether I know yous in person or not, because to not respect you is to not respect myself. I have no reason to challenge anyone else's right to recover. I just respect the fact that I'm able to recover alongside yous. Thank you so much, everyone.